Last week, I started a
series of lessons on prayer. And I did so after, you know, hearing some different things and reading some different things in the media where prayer was mentioned, and just got to thinking about it a little bit more. It's always something that I think a lot about. But every once in a while, it seems like I try to kind of dig it out and remember some things about prayer that maybe I'd forgot or try to delve into it a little deeper. And this is one of those times. But before we can really get into understanding prayer, what we're supposed to be praying, how we're supposed to be praying, the significance and the power what the Bible tells us that prayer can do. You know, before we can really get into some of those what I call fun and deep details, we kind of need to ask the question, who's God listening to? You know, as we take a look at the question of this topic this morning, what does it take to get God to listen to us? Have you ever wondered in your life, is God really hearing my prayers? Is God really listening to me? You know, with so many people around the world, I'm not just talking about those in the church, I'm talking about those outside the church, with so many people recognizing the significance of prayer, maybe not fully realizing its power or the details surrounding it, but a lot of people pray. Who does God hear? Who does He listen to? Well, let's start this morning with this question. Does God hear the prayers of sinners? In John chapter 9, Christ had just got through healing a blind man who had been blind since birth. The Pharisees, they catch wind of this and they bring the man in. They didn't bring Christ in, but they brought the man in and they even brought his parents in. They wanted to verify everything about the miracle. And so they go through, you know, chapter 9 talks about the process of the questioning they go through. And of course, they're really trying to discredit the whole deal. Because people witnessed the event. People witnessed the power of Christ, and it was convincing because this man had been blind since birth. But the Pharisees and the other religious leaders, they were trying to discredit it, you know, trying to play it all down. But, you know, this really didn't happen because Christ was a righteous man. And through the timing of this event, there was a quote made by the Pharisees. In John chapter 9, verse 31, they say this: "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him." Now, we have to be just a little bit careful whenever we interpret the Bible, that we interpret it from the right sources. What I mean by that is, here is an opinion of the Pharisees. It's not something spoken as fact by Christ Himself. And I'll tell you right now, the Pharisees get it mostly right. And that was kind of the way the Pharisees were. You know, Jesus told the people to listen to the Pharisees. I don't think He expected them to listen to everything that they had to say, because they didn't always say the right things. But a lot of what they said was right. Here's an expression that was mostly right, but it was one that they fully believed. It was mostly right. It is the concept of their reasoning that we talk mostly about this morning. But at the same time, they were wrong about their assumption that God never hears the prayer of a sinner. And I want us to take a look at an example where He did. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Acts chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Again, we're reading from the New Testament. We're reading from the book of Acts. The kingdom of Christ has begun. The Lord's church has begun. Christians are obeying the gospel. We're told how they obeyed the gospel. And we're starting to see the significant difference between being in Christ and out of Christ. And then we get this story of Cornelius, and we always emphasize this as this is the first example in the Bible of a Gentile being converted to the gospel. We don't know that that was for sure true, but it is the first biblical example of this happening. And we see here at the very beginning, and recognize the fact that Cornelius is not just a Gentile, but he's a sinner. He's outside of Christ. He's not in Christ till the end of chapter 10. He doesn't become a Christian till the end of chapter 10. So he's still a sinner at this point. And it says at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now again, Cornelius hadn't been baptized into the Lord yet, but God heard his prayers. And here's one of the reasons why God heard his prayers, even though he was still yet a sinner. Cornelius was a searcher. He sought God through his worship, through his deeds. He was a man who was trying to live righteously, trying to do what he knew that he needed to do. So God hears his prayers and is getting ready to send him to the source of further knowledge of what he can do in order to be saved, and put him in, as we're going to learn this morning, put him into this avenue by which his prayers will be heard and answered all the time. Okay? But this is an example of God hearing the prayers of a sinner. So I'm going to tell you on the outset this morning, I'm not going to tell God who he can listen to and who he can't listen to. It's not my position in life. It's not your position in life. But what we are going to concentrate on this morning is we're going to concentrate in the area that we do know for sure. We're going to concentrate in the area that the Bible lays out for us so that we can know what condition can we be in where we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God hears my prayers and God answers my prayers. And I believe that the Bible tells us what condition we need to be in. So that's where we're going to concentrate our time this morning. And after all, let me ask you this question. Which would you prefer, to be in a spiritual situation where you can only hope that God will hear your prayer? Or would you prefer to be in a condition where you know God hears your prayers and will answer your prayers? And that's the condition we want to be in, and that's the condition that we're going to look to the Scriptures to tell us more about this morning. This morning, let us know that God hears and answers the prayers of the righteous. One needs to have an intimate relationship with God in order for him to hear and answer our prayers. In order for this avenue to be open for us, we have to be in Christ. Let's look at some scriptures that will point us in that direction. Christ himself says in John chapter 15 and verse 7. Now listen very carefully. This is Christ in an area, you know, in his last discourse with the apostles before he goes to the cross. He tells them that he will answer their prayers. He tells them that they can ask what they want. And so... in chapter 15 and verse 7, he also adds something to that concept that's very important to you and me today. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Okay? So here's one of the things that we need to realize. We need to abide in the Word of God. And we need to be in Christ. That's what he says. If you abide in me. So here's the exception to the prayer. that in order for us to be heard by God, in order for the power of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that puts us in direct contact with God, in order for all of that to work, we have to be in Christ. And if we're in Christ, we can ask what we want. He will hear our prayers. And He will answer those prayers. Now, there are various ways He does that. We'll be discussing that in the future. But that's important for us to understand. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And isn't prayer a blessing? Wouldn't we consider prayer a blessing? Not only those prayers that are answered on our behalf, but whenever we go to God in prayer. It's a blessing to be able to communicate with our Father, to come in contact with our God. Well, He says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Note that phrase, in Christ. In fact, Paul uses that phrase quite often in the book of Ephesians, as he describes the blessings and the great and wonderful state of what it is to be a Christian in Christ throughout the book of Ephesians. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 4 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I believe that it's important. I believe that it is vital that if we want our prayers to be heard and answered by God, we need to be in Christ. We need to obey the gospel, which is laid out there right in chapter 6 and verse 3 of the book of Romans. We need to be baptized into Christ. We need to be baptized into His death. We need to be raised in newness of life. Many scriptures in the New Testament talk about that procedure. The Christians of the early church who were given the same promises as the apostles. If you will ask, I will answer. They were first told what they needed to do to obey the gospel and be in Christ. So it is vital for us, if we want our prayers heard and answered, we need to put ourselves in that state of spiritual purity that we can only receive through the obedience of the gospel and being baptized into Jesus Christ. You know, whenever Donna and Walker and Chakota and me came to the town here, one of the things that we wanted to do pretty early on, because we'd been doing it for a while, is we wanted to check out the health clubs, because we wanted to continue our exercise and that sort of thing. It's something that you know, I think is pretty important in my life. And so we went over to the Family Y, and we were just amazed at what we saw. But here's how that came about. We walk in, and we asked the ladies at the desk, can we go and look at the facilities? We're thinking about joining the club. And they said, sure. They said, you can go and walk around, take a look at everything. Don't participate in those things, but take a look at everything. So we went through the facilities and we took a look at all the weight equipment. We looked at the pool and, you know, the locker rooms and all the different facilities that they have at the Y. There's, you know, a lot of things to do there. And we decided we wanted to participate. We wanted to be involved. We wanted to use those facilities. But we couldn't use those facilities until we joined the club. Right? Till they got our money. You know, we had to sign the contract, but the money was even more important. So we had to join the club in order to take advantage of the facilities that they offer. Well, it's the same thing when we talk about prayer and all the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. In order for us to be able to know that our prayers are heard and answered. In order for us to take advantage of all the spiritual blessings that Christ has to offer, He lays them all out there. We can obviously see them in the New Testament. But we cannot come into access of them, and we cannot use them until we have joined Christ, until we have obeyed the gospel, until we have been baptized into His life, His death, and His resurrection, come into access of His saving blood. And whenever we go through that process and we become one with the Lord, then we have access to all the blessings, in which prayer is a vital part of all of that. So we see here that the Bible teaches us that if we want for God to listen to us, we need to put ourselves in a position to where we could be heard. And that's only through Jesus Christ. I need to be practicing righteousness in order for God to hear and answer my prayers. Let's go back to the statement of the Pharisees we read earlier in John chapter 9 and verse 31. It says, "We know that God does not listen to sinners." We've proved that wrong. "But if anyone is a worshiper of God," here's what they got right. "If anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him." Well, that's true. That's consistent with the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. Because, you know, they got that statement from somewhere. Where did they get it? Well, let's go back and let's look and see where they got it. Psalm chapter 34, verse 15 through 17 is likely the area where they got that thought. David writes and he says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." God hears the prayers of the righteous. You know, I don't need to try to dance around in the gray areas and wonder who it is that God's hearing on the other side of the cross. You know, I don't have to worry about that. I want to be on the safe side of the cross. I want to be on the safe side of salvation. I want to be on the safe side of righteousness so that I know my prayers will not be hindered whenever they are delivered to my Lord. Is this a promise to all mankind or a select group? Select group, according to the Scriptures, the righteous. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through 15 says, "If my people," listen to how possessive God is here, "if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place." You know, even though I'm on the right side of the cross, I could still fall away. I could still find myself living unrighteously, not fulfilling the responsibilities that I should be fulfilling, not living the godly life that I need to be living, not serving the Lord out of appreciation of the grace that He has given to me. I can find myself in that situation. Maybe you find yourself in that situation this morning. What do we do? Well, we're getting ready to read a scripture here in a little bit where it talks about confessing our sins to others. But at the same time, here's something that is very interesting about where we are whenever we are in Christ. Even though we may fail and fall, if we will humble ourselves and repent, and here's one of the great things, if you ever want to study a character who really had it in with God, David's that character. What made David so special? Because he sinned in some pretty big ways. You know, he was a sinner. And yet God loved him. God really thought David was special. Well, one of the reasons why God thought David was so special was because he had a heart that knew when it needed to humble itself and repent. When he knew he was sinning, he would change. He could be humbled before God. When we fail sometimes in our life, whenever sin becomes overwhelming and we know that we need God's forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, and His strength and help. If we humble ourselves before God and we go to Him and ask for forgiveness, this tells us we will be forgiven. We will be given the strength. Hopefully we've got that want to try to live righteously, because as we see, that's important. If we want to continue to have that access with God without any obstacles or hindrances, we need to be striving to live a righteous life. Is it any different for us under the new law? Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. Here's what a lot of people like to read, and this is where they like to end. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, period. Right? That's where a lot of people are. Even the people on the other side of the cross who believe that they've got the power of prayer within their hands, who are, you know, saying, I'm praying for you. I mean, let's all pray for each other. There's a big tragedy. Let's all, you know, do the praying. This is where they're at. This is how they read it. Whatever we ask, we receive from God, period. But we know there's more to the story, right? We know that there's more to that verse. Let's complete that verse. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him because. Because is also a continuing action or an exception. Or there's something that's got to accompany the prayer. What needs to accompany it? We keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Now, what's this telling us? We need to be righteous. We need to live a righteous life. Not perfect, folks. We need to be striving for perfection. But none of us are going to be so perfect that it's going to make any difference. But we need to be striving to live righteously. I like how John expresses it. We need to be trying to do what pleases Him. Do you know what pleases God? You know, New Testament's full of things that please God. Are we walking in those things? Are we fulfilling those things? Are we trying to live righteously? If we are doing so, we put ourselves in access with God. He hears our prayers. He receives our prayers. He answers our prayers. While it is true that it rains on the just and the unjust, what the unrighteous receive is just a sprinkle compared to the flood of blessings we have in Christ whenever we obey and accept His righteousness. Knowing these things to be true and well documented in God's Word, who would you rather have praying for you? I want you to listen to this. Who would you rather have praying for you? A righteous person or an unrighteous person? James chapter 5 and verse 16 says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Here's one of those avenues that sometimes we fail. Sometimes we find ourselves far away from God. We humble our hearts. We want to repent. We want to come back to the Lord. What are the avenues that are given to us? We can, if we will humble our hearts, and we will certainly be repentive, and we're going to try to get back with God, God will hear our prayers. But here's another one of those things that's kind of a source of confidence and helps us to feel good about our brothers and sisters and their help with us. We can confess our sins to each other. And we can ask each other to pray on our behalf. You go back to Acts chapter 8 and you see the example of that. Simon the sorcerer had sinned. And it's interesting that the apostles tell him, you need to pray that these things be forgiven of you? And he said, no, you pray for me. He asked them. And so it is, we have that power. But look at the end of this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There is a lot of power in the prayer of that righteous man or woman who's praying on behalf of others. Now, knowing that, I have been offered prayers by friends, neighbors, and family members who call themselves Christians. They're all very well-meaning. Very well-meaning. But whose beliefs and actions are contrary to what I read in God's Word. My judgment is this. If I am sick physically, if I am sick spiritually, or if I need someone to pray for something specific in my life, I want you praying for me. I want you praying for me because I see you as a brother or sister in Christ who is trying to follow New Testament Christianity the way the Bible lays out for you. And I believe that what the Bible teaches, you have power in your prayer. I know as a preacher, I've been asked by many to pray on their behalf. I've had those opportunities, taking advantage of those opportunities. When someone asks me to pray on their behalf, they believe that I am striving to walk righteously and that I have powerful prayer. Now, we take this concept and we look at this concept. It implies a great deal of responsibility, does it not? You know, if I'm asking you to pray for me, I'm expecting you to be a righteous person. I'm expecting you to do all within your power to live like God wants you to live in a way that pleases Him. If you do the same of me, it's an awesome responsibility. You're expecting me to live righteously and do all that pleases God. So you know what? Prayer carries with it pretty heavy responsibility. But not responsibilities that are impossible. Not responsibilities that cannot be achieved. We can all achieve a righteous life. A righteous living. Now, again, understand, we're not talking about perfect life and perfect living. There's only one being that ever walked this earth that was ever able to accomplish that. But we need to be striving for righteousness. I need for you to be working at living righteously because I need your prayers. You need me to be working and striving towards righteousness because you need my prayers. That's a big responsibility, but it's a responsibility that can be accomplished. Think about it for a moment. If we are all living righteously and we are all praying fervently, we'll talk about that in a future lesson. But if we're all doing that, is there anything we can't accomplish? If we have that kind of power going on in this congregation, where we know we're trying to live the best we can before our God, and we are praying for things that need to be prayed for, look at the prayer list in your bulletin. Those people need our help. And you know what? That's just a small portion of the things that, as we're going to find out in this study, that's just a small portion of the things we need to be praying for. Do you want to turn this nation around? Because this nation right now is headed to hell. How do we turn it back around towards God? How do we get it in the right direction? Will it not take not only righteous living and examples by us, but also powerful prayer? Will it not? Do we want for our own community to receive the Lord, to receive the knowledge of the Lord, to respond to that knowledge? You know, we're going to be putting out efforts. There's already been efforts put out in the past. There's going to be future efforts put out in trying to reach the souls of those within our community. That will take effort, literal, physical effort. It'll take mental effort. But it also takes a great deal of prayer to open up those hearts. You know, we're limited in what we can do physically. I can preach the word, but I can't open up the heart. But I know somebody that can. God can do anything. There's nothing impossible for Him. And I believe that prayer is that avenue that we can use to do amazing, great, and wonderful things. And it's not by us that we do so, but by the power of the living God that we worship this day. I believe that He could do that. So we are challenged this morning, folks, to live a righteous life and to be praying fervently for good things in the lives of our brothers and sisters and in the lives of those who are outside the church, that they may receive what they need to be saved before it's too late. If you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, you're in this situation that we talk about this morning where you're on the other side of the cross. And you need to get on the right side of the cross. And the Bible tells us what the right side is. I know that you have situations in your life where you need the power of God. You have situations in your life where you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in fighting against some of the things that the world throws at you. But the only way you can get those things fully is to be on the right side of the cross. And the right side of the cross is obeying the gospel. And the gospel is so simple to do. The Bible tells us that we need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the power. That's the avenue. That's where we receive the blessings we need. And He has offered up His life in sacrifice so that we could receive salvation through Him. We need to believe He is the Son of God. We need to be willing to confess that before others. We need to repent of sin. Sin gets us nowhere. Nowhere good. We need to repent. We need to strive to live righteously. And then we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, to come into contact and access of His blood so that our sins be washed away, we're added to the number of the saved, we're walking in righteousness, we're living faithfully for our God, and we're throwing up some powerful prayers in our life. You can put yourself in that situation this morning. You can put yourself in a situation of power, a situation of grace, a situation of knowing where you're going with your life, having a purpose, and being able to focus on that purpose for the rest of your life. Does the world offer you anything better? I don't think so. Do what you need to do this morning to be saved by Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're willing to do that, we're ready to assist you. If you'll but come, all together we stand and sing.